Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for starting the weekend with us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville. Or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Maud.
That would be a little weird.
And then there's Maud.
Yeah, I was about to say, wasn't that a character?
Yeah.
Melrose Place, or what was that?
No, it was a show called Maud.
It was called Maud?
Oh, yeah, it's back in the 70s, man. It's way before
Maud. I knew it was like one
the
of those.
The author was Maud.
Okay, I knew it was like one of those like sitcoms or whatever. Yeah.
I think my biggest – I've never actually watched an episode of Maud. My biggest thing with it is the Family Guy where, oh, it's the extra long version of the song. And
that's the only – that's the only reason I know
and then
it.
There's Maud. Come on. that was an ordeal. Wherever you are in our
it
great
was
state.
Extra long, too.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's what she said. I couldn't resist. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's only a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. The star of the cookout should always be beef. No one's showing up to the house for the cookout. And what are you having? Steaks? No, it's never happened. Not in recorded history.
I wanted celery instead.
Yeah, so there probably was someone who did it back in caveman times, but they were quickly killed off, and that was it. And so, you know, we moved on with a better society. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. And I know that you are looking for it because Father's Day is coming up. You got to get Dad some cool gifts. Get them at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Everything Dad wants, one location. Restaurant Tyler, Starville's flagship restaurant. For lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch, the best meal in town remains at Restaurant Tyler. Undefeated, undisputed, the best blue plate in the city, maybe in the state, maybe in the world. Who's to say? Is at Restaurant Tyler. So if you're in Starville for lunch, you need to make a trip over to Restaurant Tyler. Get you some fried chicken, get you some catfish, get you some cornbread, some butter beans, some cheese grits. It's all right there. Everything you like about Southern food is happening at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for your future. Now, more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need to get answers. You need to get them on your schedule, not somebody else's. You need a banker who knows you as well as they know your money. You want a bank that provides a level of service that you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. You may notice that Robbie and I are maybe just a little quieter than we sometimes are. There's a little one just right off to Robbie's left there. We're gonna hope for the best here. But you gotta do what you gotta do.
We're at the point in time where my wife and my daughter are out of the house. Mm-hmm. This is just the point of day where we have to record, or we're gonna have to do it tonight. And I don't want to do it tonight.
Don't want to do it tonight.
So I have a sleeping baby next to me. Yeah. I'm down in the living room instead of my normal office.
I'm more concerned that your wife and child, your other child, are going to walk in and be like.
Well, I told them to take their time.
Okay.
So this could be an ordeal. This whole thing could be a disaster.
All right. We may add a third member to the broadcast team. You know, we're just going to keep it. We're going to try to keep it a little quiet. I'll try to keep my, Robbie, if you did me a favor and just not upset me today.
No. I'm the one that doesn't need to be upset. You know, I'm the one that flies off the handle.
I think I don't want you to.
You usually can contain your emotions pretty well.
I don't want you to regress back to your old self, okay? I don't want that to happen. So, all right.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome. So, yesterday, before you headed out of Hoover, you put up a new update to the coaching search. And you know, as we've been talking about for the past few weeks, you've been on top of things, putting out a lot of great information. It really does feel to me on the outside that this search is starting to narrow itself down. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because it could, I'll give you the bad thing first, that it feels like Mississippi State fans are starting to buy into the idea that it's going to be maybe Brian O'Connor, maybe Mark Wazikowski, maybe another, but a sitting head coach. We've talked about it for the past few weeks that the national guys are all telling me there won't be a Chris Lemonis type hire here. It won't be somebody who comes out of nowhere. We've talked about whoever the coach is going to be. And so when you start narrowing things down, and if you miss on those guys, then it becomes, well, or, you know, what happened? Where did it go wrong? Stuff like that. Even though you may still end up with a great coach. I mean, if State ends up with Chris Pollard, that's a great hire, but I understand why people might be disappointed. But the good thing that the reason it's winding down, or the good thing is that means that it's winding down and we're getting closer to a resolution on all this. How much Virginia losing last night, they are very bubblicious when it comes to this NCAA tournament. If they don't make the tournament and State, let's say, goes to the regional and then they don't make it out, is there a scenario where if O'Connor is the guy, when we look up a week from today, or I guess a week from today we'll be in regional play, but you know, maybe 2 weeks from today, that Brian O'Connor is already the head coach at Mississippi State?
I think it would have to be Mississippi State season's over.
Right.
I think it's going to be whoever they hired, their season's going to be over, and Mississippi State's season is going to be over. And I mean, looking at Virginia's resume right now is just not very good. They're 59 in the RPI. So I don't know if they're going to be able to make this tournament. They had
It
a
feels unlikely.
bad loss. The Boston College, I think, was who beat them.
Yes.
Who's still ranked below them. So it looks to me like this thing's probably over for Brian O'Connor. If he is a legitimate candidate, which I believe him to be, this is the time for Zach Selman to strike, to go interview him, do whatever he needs to do. You got to do whatever it takes to get Brian O'Connor on board. If he is remotely interested in your position, you have to do whatever it takes this week, I believe, to lock that up this week, next week, whatever, because there is the risk that A&M opens up and maybe Brian O'Connor waits it out anyway. But I'm trying to strike as quickly as possible here with Brian O'Connor and try to get him locked in. And for whenever Mississippi State's season ends, he is your head coach. If that is the possibility, which, like I said, I believe it to be, I believe there to be a possibility that Mississippi State hires Brian O'Connor. If I'm Zach Selman, I'm locking that down as soon as I possibly can. And I've seen some people saying, well, you got to announce it whenever he signs a paper. You don't have to do all that. And I don't think that's going to happen anyway. I think out of respect for the team to take away at least some of that distraction, you don't do that. You wait for your season to end. You wait for the coach's season to end. It just doesn't happen that way. So until Mississippi State's season ends, we will not know who the head coach is. But if Virginia's season really is finished, I'm going full court press on Brian O'Connor, and it might already be happening. I'm not sure. But it seems to me that this is probably the end of the road for Virginia. I'd be a little surprised if they made the tournament. So all signs right now and all eyes are on Mississippi State and Brian O'Connor, and if Mississippi State can make this happen. The big thing to me is whether or not Brian O'Connor can pry himself away from Virginia. Because at the end of the day, there is a lot of emotions, I'm sure, tied into that with him.
Absolutely.
He's been there for over 20 years. He's built that place from the ground up. He is the greatest coach they've ever had. And I'm sure it's going to be difficult for him to say goodbye to them. And it's going to boil down to the fact, will Virginia really give him what he wants? From a monetary standpoint, I think he's making good money there. But it's not really about that as much anymore for these coaches. It's about NIL resources in that regard. Is he going to be able to be competitive in this current landscape of college athletics? That's the big thing for him. And if Virginia can't supply that for him, I believe there to be a very good possibility that he is on the move this offseason, whether it be to Mississippi State, Texas A&M, or some other surprise destination. And right now, I mean,
Go ahead.
South Carolina's not coming open.
Does not appear to be.
A&M, if they win today, they're getting closer and closer, I think, to keeping Michael Earley, because at
Well,
this point
I'm seeing his stars there.
he can come through and say, I had three of my best players get hurt this year, and that really hampered what we could do. He could make some excuses, and I'm sure that there's some people there that would believe it. And also, you have the whole deal again with this roster threatening to leave or whatever. I don't think A&M is fully settled at this point. There's still a possibility that Mississippi State is the job available this offseason.
With O'Connor, if he doesn't make it, the thing for State is, Selman can work behind the scenes, and he can get that deal done if they don't make it while State's still playing baseball. You just don't
Yes.
announce anything. Maybe it leaks, and if it leaks, that's too bad. I don't think
It
anybody.
very rarely
It very
does.
rarely does, and at the end of the day, I mean, even Parker kind of has to know this. He's not getting this job short of winning a national title. So if that derails anything, I don't think it matters that much. So, the Virginia situation is very interesting. So, like you said, that's priority one, to try to lock up Brian O'Connor. If that fails, it feels like Mississippi State has piv can pivot and has pivoted as the number two guy to be Mark Wazikowski.
So here's the thing with that.
Okay.
And I
Thing
reported
with
this
it. I was
yesterday,
done.
and for some reason it was countered with I was by someone else that I was reporting false information or whatever. That's not the case. I reported yesterday and have from the start that Mark Wazikowski is interested in the Mississippi State job. I'm reporting from his point of view that he is interested. I do not know where Mississippi State stands with Mark Wazikowski. I believe that Wazikowski has reached out to people, back channels, maybe with a liaison, whatever, that he is interested in this job. I don't know what Mississippi State's response is at this point. I believe that Wazikowski should be towards the top of the board for Mississippi State. Whether he is for Zach Selman, I don't know that to be a fact right now, but I do believe he should be. That should be at this point. In my mind, you're number two. That should be the guy that you fall to after Brian O'Connor. If Brian O'Connor says no, I think Mark Wazikowski would be an absolute beast in the SEC. I think he would kill it at Mississippi State. He understands what it takes to win in this league. He's done it with Andy Lopez at Florida several years ago. And like we've seen, he's taken a program that has, like many of these coaches, states after. Did virtually nothing before he arrived, especially not for about 40 years, 40 or 50 years before he arrived.
How long?
50. And he's built that program into a consistent super regional team, not just a regional team, super regional. They had been to five regionals in the previous, I think, 45 years. He's been to five in the last five and competing and winning championships. There at Oregon, he would be a slam dunk, massive hire for Mississippi State, and I believe he would take this job. So, as it stands right now, I don't know where Mississippi State sits with him, but I do know that I feel confident in saying he would take this job if he was offered it.
So if you don't think for sure that that's the number two guy for Mississippi State, do you think there is a number two guy for Mississippi State? Is there a guy that you feel that if they would like to pivot to if possible?
I don't know for sure. I mean, it's kind of quiet on like what the pecking order is. I know for sure that Brian O'Connor, there is mutual interest between these two parties, Mississippi State and Brian O'Connor. I know that for a fact. And then everything else is kind of muddy. It's kind of things that we're hearing, from different sources, not particularly maybe from the circle of trust, I would say, at Mississippi State, but. I feel like Wazikowski is a guy that's in the mix. I feel like you still have some other guys. I believe Dan Fitzgerald is a very, very legitimate candidate for Mississippi State. If I were a betting man, I would say he was in the top three for the Bulldogs. I feel very good about saying that. I think that Dan Fitzgerald from Kansas is a major option for Mississippi State and is on Zach Selman's list. So that's another guy that I think that is very much a possibility for State. And another one that the team he took over had done nothing. And he is creating a great culture there at Kansas. He's winning at a high level. This is the greatest season, really, that they've ever had over there. They won 20 conference games. They're a team that is a legitimate threat to make a super regional. He's done amazing things there. I think he would do a really good job here as well. So you're bringing up these coaches, and we're like down the line from Brian O'Connor, and like almost every guy that you bring up, you could see succeeding at Mississippi State.
Yeah, there's not a one that's just like, I mean,
Well, I mean,
even
here's the thing. Like, so the name Skip Johnson has been mentioned
okay.
several times because of his connection, Zach Selman's connection with Oklahoma. I get that. I don't think anybody would be excited about that hire, but the dude went to a national championship at Oklahoma.
Yes.
So, I mean, what are we talking about here? If you hire Skip Johnson, you hired a really good baseball coach. It would not excite this fan base. But he's done some really good things at Oklahoma, a place that hasn't been great over the last few years, or I guess prior to his arrival. But even Skip Johnson, I feel like, would be a good hire for Mississippi State. Tom Walter, a guy that we've brought up a couple of times from Wake Forest, I think he would be a good hire. If you start getting the assistant coach route, which as of now, I don't know if it gets to that, there's some guys that you could easily talk people into being excited about. So it's a very interesting search. To me, it feels like it's Zach Selman's search to blow. Like, I think that they could make a good hire if Zach Selman just finishes the job. It's kind of set up on a tee for him to hire a really good coach.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about that for a while about how there's not a, the they're not likely to reach the Lemonis part where the guy who's not on anybody's hot board ends up being that guy. Fitzgerald is down some people's list. Tom Walter would be another example of somebody like that. And but you know, who I've convinced myself is the Lemonis guy at this point, by the way, that like there nobody's talking about him. But in the same time, if they got him, I would be thrilled. He'd be a great guy. Is Ostrander. I don't think there's any interest either way. I don't think he's happy at Southern, and I think State's not interested in bringing him up here. But if it got to it and they were like, maybe we should reach out, and then the mutual interest was there, and State hired a Christian Ostrander, I would be thrilled. I think that'd be a great coach for Mississippi State. So,
Absolutely. I mean, one of the best evaluators and developers of pitchers in the country, and he's kept the ball rolling at Southern Miss, and I think doing a really good job, and that would not be a bad hire at all.
and that's the thing that for State right now, the interest level in this job is so high because of NIL, because of revenue sharing, and because it's apparent Mississippi State is here to make a real and true commitment to college baseball. That is something that other schools just aren't going to be able to offer. You know, when it comes to
And
NIL.
whenever revenue share hits, you're really going to know who the haves and the have-nots are in college baseball. It'll happen quickly. Who's going to devote money to baseball whenever you have to stay alive in a lot of these group of five schools and places like that? And even power four schools, they're going to have to give more money to basketball and football. It's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out. State's going to survive and thrive on the baseball diamond. We'll see about the other sports, but in the baseball diamond, I feel confident Mississippi State is going to kind of rise to the top a little bit there, just because of the support that this place has for college baseball and wanting to be at the top of the food chain. And that's why it's become such a attractive job this time around as opposed to 2018. I think this is a much more attractive job than it was then, and you were in the game with guys that you would not be in the game with prior to this year. And you look at some of the guys that we've mentioned, Virginia, it's still kind of up in the air what they're going to do for Brian O'Connor. And like I said, the longevity there, I think that's going to earn him some grace, or I guess earn them some grace, probably. I would imagine. You know, he would be okay if they just gave a little, pushed a little bit more funds into his pot. But for other schools, for Dan Fitzgerald at Kansas, they're never going to give that kind of money to baseball. I don't
Right.
think Oregon's going to get that. Oregon has a little more money to pull from with Nike, but I don't think they're ever going to devote competitive money into that sport. So you talk about all these sports, you talk about all these guys that are interested in the job, and it's tough to imagine their schools being able to compete to what Mississippi State's going to be able to do.
Right. And I mean, it's kind of interesting, right? Because, Virginia has been a great baseball school for the last, 2.5 decades with Brian O'Connor there, and other schools have been really good at baseball, but they're going to have to make these hard decisions. And, Duke is never going to give a penny to baseball that could go to basketball. I mean, there's just no getting around that. There she is.
She's waking up.
Look at that.
You got to do what you got to do.
Man, hey, that's being a dad right there, my friend. We do what we got to do here on Thunder and Lightning. I still haven't been out to see that baby. I got to come out to the
Got
house
to come
one.
see her.
I will do that. But anyway, as I was saying, we're going to see a real shift, I think. You look at what like the top 25 looks like in baseball most years. You're going to see some schools that you're used to seeing. They're not going to be there anymore in the next 2 or 3 years. It's going to be, I mean, we talk about the SEC all the time, and obviously the SEC has a very big stronghold in football and basketball, basketball especially this past year, football for the last, 3 decades. But baseball is going to be where, it's going to be I think it's going to really concentrate. And specifically, I would say State and Ole Miss, LSU, Arkansas, the Texas schools, Florida to a certain extent, I
I am
think.
very intrigued with what Florida
Yeah.
does.
And then with Cohen there, Auburn will contribute, will play baseball. They will be competitive. Alabama, I don't know. Especially if A&M does move on and they go get Rob Vaughn out of Tuscaloosa. Does
Yeah, who
Alabama
do they hire is the big question. I
do
feel
that
like
thing where they go, okay, maybe we just gotta, get who we can get, or do they continue to push and try to be a top program? Tennessee probably sticks around and does it. But I could easily see Tennessee backing up and saying, look, this is great and all, but we've got to put more into football and basketball, and Vitello very quickly getting tired of that. I could easily see that.
well, they're already paying him a ton of money, and that's a lot of money to spend on a sport that's just not making money, and they're having to build new facilities, and they're spending a ton of money on NIL. I don't know. I mean, they have deep pockets at Tennessee, but at the end of the day, like these sports, you have to think about like football and basketball makes the money, and you cannot afford to really take away from those sports to make a non-revenue sport more competitive. Like it's gonna be a situation where a lot of decisions are gonna have to be made for the athletic departments over the next few years.
Agreed. Agreed. I mean, this is one of, people have talked and complained about NIL and how Mississippi State is going to be, a victim of it. I don't believe that. I believe Mississippi State's downtimes in football have not been related to their inability in NIL. It's been more about, I mean, they just got unlucky with Mike Leach passing away. And we always knew that when Mike Leach left Mississippi State, there was going to be a transition to get away from what he did to the next coach. And it's just so sudden. I can't help but think with Leach, that being the smart guy that he was, he, let's say, he had stuck around, he'd stayed with us and coached 23, probably would have been a good year. I think that with Will Rogers and that team under Mike Leach, he probably meet the expectations we had for them, probably an 8 or 9 win team. Last year was going to be a step back. There's no question about that, right? But I think with Mike Leach, the step back is probably closer to like 5 and 7 or something like that. I think Leach is smart enough to go, okay, maybe 27's my last year. We got to change the way we recruit just a little bit and bring in some guys that, we can look at to the next coach. Maybe a little bit more, not as much, that's what I'm looking for. Just confined to what I want to do. I don't know if that's the case or not, but Leach was such a smart guy. I think he would have been cognizant of that. I don't know. We'll never know. So,
No, I
that being
mean, we
said,
broke down
baseball, you're
the
correct. Baseball, you're correct that Mississippi State is going to be one of the front runners in the NIL and the commitment market for baseball. There's no question about that.
Yeah. Yeah, we broke down the whole like roster situation for Mississippi State in football, and it was clear they just were not like they weren't retaining their classes. They were losing some players that they didn't want to lose, but also they were having to get rid of a lot of players that had been recruited. Like their roster was going to be at some point they're going to have a huge turnaround in football. But yeah, to your point, I think that you're right. I think State's going to be able to compete, and this is it's exciting. I mean, I've always said with baseball at Mississippi State, like you should put in resources to continue to make this program a top of the line program because it's one of the few programs on campus that has been self-sustaining through multiple coaches, through multiple decades, and has competed at an extremely high level for championships during that stretch. I mean, you go back to the 70s. Since then, Mississippi State, every single decade, has been in the College World Series. You can't say that about any other sport on campus where they've been that competitive for that long, on a national stage. So the state can't afford to just throw that to the side just because it doesn't make money. I think what you do, and what we talked about last week when I mentioned that state is going to try to find some avenues to make more money off of baseball, what you do is you take advantage of the fact that there's such a high demand and you try to make more money, and then you double down, you do what you can to succeed at the highest level. I think, like I said, Zach Selman recognizes that, and that's what they're going to do in this revenue share era. You're going to have more money go to baseball than it does at most schools around the country. But like I said, I also don't think it's going to damage the other sports too badly.
I agree. I agree with you 100%. All right, speaking of money, let's do this. Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at I'm sorry, at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. I know that you're looking for it. You're thinking about it all the time. You're like, "Hey, I need to eat good today." Well, guess what? You just go down to Two Brothers and do exactly that, or you can head over to the older brother and grab yourself a fancy sandwich, the fanciest of sandwiches. I still haven't had that Philly cheesesteak. I need to make my way over there sometime soon. I will do that. I will do that.
The summer is when you and I are going to have a good time eating lunch. We don't have to worry about parking or crowds.
Yeah, it's just
We'll go
easy.
to Two Brothers and older brother many times during the summer.
I mean, that sounds delightful. Well, I'm not gonna lie to you. So you need to do it too. Head over to Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
Hey.
Okay. I'm turning this into an ASMR podcast here. It's like, you need testing technology for need technology for your business.
Do you have any of those famous sweaty balls?
What? I mean, I know, but what? I don't know what that has to do with that. Anyway.
Well, then they have like an NPR, wasn't
Oh,
that
yeah.
like an NPR radio show they were doing
Yeah, I
on
said
SNL?
ASMR, though.
Well, isn't that kind of the same stuff?
No, ASMR is like when people they listen to these podcasts where people whisper into the microphone. It helps them sleep.
Oh, okay.
So, totally different.
I thought that was like an
Oh,
NPR thing.
totally different. No, not anything close.
Well,
Anyway, when you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service, it's the same number. It's the same people. You know them and you've built that relationship with them. They're one Mississippi business helping you out just as easy as it can be. Give them a call today if you need any kind of technology in your business, 601-362-9192, or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Zoned out for a second there.
okay.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
You have a
Marine
stroke?
Co. Please, God, don't say this stuff like that. Marine Co. That's the place to go here in Starkville when you need Mississippi State gear. Maybe you need something for dad. Maybe you need something for your newborn baby. You need some maroon and white gear. They've got it at Marine Co. Everything you're looking for, maroon and white, under one roof. Use our promo code Thunder 15 to save 15% off in store or online at marooneco.com. It doesn't matter. 15% off regular price. Some exclusions will apply. Next time you're in Starkville or she's just shopping online, make sure that you're headed to Maroon & Co. when you need Mississippi State gear. The weekend is here, which means it's time to get out there in the yard, do some work around the house, maybe cook out on the grill. Whatever you're doing, you need to head to Scruggs Farm, Lawn, and Garden first. And right now, if you really want to get your lawn to look its best, if you want it to be the envy of the neighborhood, you better be driving a John Deere. John Deere Drive Green Spring Sales event happening right now. 0% financing up to 48 months on Gators and commercial mowers. 0% financing 72 months on John Deere compact tractors. Nothing runs like a deer. So if you don't, if you want that lawn to look its best, you better be sporting that John Deere green. Offer valid through June 2nd. See your dealer for details. Visit Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden at 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo. Or you can shop online at scruggsfarm.com. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, they have what you want for less. Speaking of money, another seven-figure gift to the State Excellence Fund. This one courtesy of the Golding family, which is they are big boosters of Mississippi State Athletics. They're also big boosters of Brian Haydad. Good people. I'm good friends with the Goldings.
Good folks.
I
They've done a lot.
texted one of them. I was like, "You ever want to donate to the Haydad Excellence Fund? You just gotta let me know. I'll set the whole thing up for you."
Can we at least get like could you just get us a meal at Restaurant Tyler complete
You know what I
with
really
a couple
want? If I need
apps?
a TV here in the studio. I need a television here so that
So you
I'm
can
not.
watch your soccer?
Well, not only that, but like there are sometimes where you and I are doing a show and something like there's a game on, and I'm trying to go back and forth. I'd rather just have you here and the game over here. If I could make
You
that happen.
don't need that. You do not need more distractions in there. I don't want to hear the
I don't get. I am not easily distracted. Squirrel. I'm not easily distracted.
Oh, hey, I don't want to take away from that. That's a big gift that goes
Yeah,
towards the I don't and
2.5
I still
mil.
don't know where they are with their gifts because we don't know what the
Right.
initial gift was, but I imagine they're going to be pretty close to their goal soon, but
Yeah.
they have I think they're voting or they've already approved they're going to do straight seedings in the playoffs now.
That news has just broken, so there will be straight seeding. So just to make it a little clearer, if you're wondering, you know what that means. Obviously, it doesn't mean that it means the conference champions do not get automatic buys. The top four get automatic buys. This is what this year's brackets would have looked like. Okay. So the 8-9 game would have been Boise at Indiana. Winner would have played Oregon.
Which would have made more sense, I think.
I mean, Oregon would have gone for that.
You probably would have had better games.
Well, let's talk about that. The second game, the 10-7 game, SMU at Tennessee, winner plays Georgia. 11, Arizona State at Ohio State, the sixth seed. They would have played Texas in the second round. Arizona State at I'm just telling you right now, I thought Ohio State was so dominant. They were great, right? But boy, would I like to have seen Cam Scataboo against that Ohio State defense. I would have liked to have seen that. And then Clemson at Notre Dame is the 5-12 game. The winner takes on Penn State. The big winner in this is Notre Dame because prior to this, Notre Dame could not get a bye. They could not because you had to
Because
be a
they're
conference
independent.
champion. Now, if they're the number one team in the nation or if they're in the top four, they will get a bye and not have to play a conference championship game. So they could get almost a month off between, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I think this is, I'm not a huge fan of expansion. I'm certainly not a huge fan of all the auto bids that seem to be coming. I don't like that one bit. But the straight seating is something I can absolutely get behind. I liked, especially when we're talking about, it's not like Boise and Arizona State last year got a home game. If you're telling me that Boise got to play their first game at home, okay, I can get behind that at least. But I mean, they were just playing in bowl games in neutral field. So it's not like it's a huge deal for them to have gotten the extra time.
Don't you think we need to? I don't think they'll do this because there's too much money in them, but don't you think we need to move away from these like the neutral sites for at least one more round?
I
Like
am 100%.
Georgia and Boise didn't get a chance to play. Was it Boise didn't get a chance to play at home too?
Boise, Arizona State, Georgia, and Oregon. None of them played at home.
Yeah. I
I
mean,
again, I'm 100% in favor of that. But man, the bowl lobby is so powerful and so entrenched, it's going to be almost impossible. And
there's too much money in it.
so somebody on the text line who I completely disagreed with, because I don't give a crap about the CEO of Prudential, I don't. But there, he made the comment, it's like, the Prudential or Allstate, I'm sorry, Allstate sponsors the Sugar Bowl, and they send all their executives down there to have a weekend in New Orleans. They're not going to want to do that in Eugene or Athens or something like that. Now, my response was, I don't care about those people. I could
Yeah.
care less. But his point was, well, maybe they don't sponsor it. My retort was, somebody else will jump on that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But yes, I 100% agree with you that up until the semifinals, you can put in the bowls, right? You can put in the Rose, the Sugar, the Orange, whatever you want to
Final
call it.
four and championship.
And the championship, that's fine. And then the other bowl, the other thing is, you can just call the Sugar Bowl, doesn't have the Sugar Bowl. The only one of these games that's played at the stadium is the Rose Bowl, right? The Orange Bowl is not played at the Orange Bowl anymore. The Sugar Bowl is not played at the Sugar Bowl. The Cotton Bowl is not played at the Cotton Bowl. Fiesta Bowl is not played at the Fiesta Bowl. The Peach Bowl is not played at the Peach Bowl. So you can just call, you can just call Tennessee at Oregon. You can just call it the Rose Bowl. Nobody cares. It's irrelevant. So yeah, I can't. I would be in full favor of what you're describing. Yes, 100%.
I just think what makes it so great, and you've earned the right for it, is like what makes playoffs so great is like you have an opportunity to host a game that means so much at your home venue. And they do it in almost every single sport. I mean, the NCAA tournament and basketball notwithstanding.
Right.
The other football leagues do that.
They play at home, yeah.
Why can the NCAA not do that in Division
Because
One?
the money is just so big. It's just a money thing. It's 100% a money thing.
But don't they get revenue off of the ticket sales
Yeah, I'm
at
sure
those
there's
home
something.
games?
Yeah, remember the NCAA doesn't control the college football playoff. That's a separate entity. It's not like
Yeah.
the basketball tournament. So I want to stress that I am in 100% agreement with you, but I just don't know if it'll ever happen. It should
Yeah,
though.
I think you and I are both on the same page. Like, it's just too much money in it.
It's just too much. I just don't know how you can watch those playoff games last year that were played on campus and see those atmospheres and everything and not immediately say, okay, all of these games, or at least the first two rounds, they gotta be on campus. Everybody should get at least one home game there, but it is what it
I
is.
just like that they're making adjustments to it. People
Yeah.
were freaking out last year because of the format and stuff. And, like, guys, they're going to change it.
Yeah.
It happens in everything that
And we ended up
college
with,
football does.
I don't know if we ended up with the correct teams or not, because,
Probably not, but the idea of
but
it.
Ohio State was the best team in the country last year, in my opinion. They were, from day one, they were the best team. They screwed up, and the Oregon game, they lost a game on the road where they were driving and their quarterback makes a mental error. If they get a timeout call, they kick a field goal and win the game. The
Yeah.
Michigan game is what makes college football great, right? They can't beat their rival. That's fine. But Ohio State, Notre Dame, eh. But Notre Dame was playing great at the end of the year, and they beat Georgia and Penn State.
They
I
went and
just
earned it.
you can't argue too much with it. So,
But I love the fact that we're doing a 12-team playoff where, and they've talked about 16, which, guess what? The more the merrier for me. I
I'll
don't
watch every
understand why
game.
people get so upset
Yeah.
about having more meaningful games.
So I went back and looked. If there were 16 teams in the playoff scenarios with the auto bids they're talking about, where the SEC automatically gets four teams in, Mississippi State would have, I think, seven playoff appearances since
Yeah.
the league split into two divisions.
So, like, why are people upset about that?
Because they feel like it takes away from the regular season. In my opinion, it does not.
And it doesn't.
It doesn't.
It does.
I
There
still watch every game. I'm still locked into every game.
were huge games last year. Think about the games. Alabama losing to Vanderbilt cost them
Yes.
a trip. Ole
I'm
Miss losing to Kentucky cost them.
Brother
Like,
Rob, you preaching to the choir over here, friend.
now, I don't want to do Matt Rule's 40-team playoff,
40 seems like a lot. What's
but
funny is
16's fine.
I first read that and I was just like, I don't know, man. That might be really cool. And then one of the first games was Arkansas versus Auburn, and I was like, I'm out. I am out.
Yeah.
I cannot get behind this. I'm
It's
out.
too much.
Too much. So, all right. Monday show. So here's what I think we ought to do, Robbie. You tell me if you think I'm wrong. But like we Sunday, you know, Mississippi State's not hosting. So there's no real update for us on Sunday. Should we just record after they announce the brackets on Monday? So no, it's Memorial Day. You know, you got the day off anyway. Let's just record Monday's podcast on Monday.
Okay.
And that'll last us into Tuesday, and then Tuesday we do the rumblings and we go from there. So
Yeah,
we'll
we
have
can do that.
we will have a podcast for you Monday. They normally announce those things around 10 a.m., 11 a.m. So as soon as that the brackets are announced and we know where Mississippi State is headed, we will upload a podcast then. So no podcast when you wake up Monday morning, but it will be available to you by Monday afternoon. Sounds good? All right, we'll talk to you guys then. For Robbie Falk and Lady Falk, can she say goodbye? Bye bye. What a sweet little girl.
All she wants to do is be held.
Man.
She is perfectly content when she's right here.
There you go. All right. I'm Brian Adad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.